Okay, so that everyone is aware, this meeting will be recorded. And I'd like to say welcome to everybody. My name is Christina Nordström, and I'm a part of the CCNSL Secretariat. And as you know, this is an introduction to the CCNSL for newcomers and for people who want to learn more about CCNSL, how it functions, how it fits into the big picture, and what's going on during ICANN meetings, in this case, Beijing. I just want to give you a very, very short background. We had a survey conducted for CCNSL newcomers in 2012, and the responses indicated that it can be difficult to grasp the overall picture of the CCNSL and to know who to turn to with questions. So that's why we decided to try this webinar. And Bart, Gabby, and myself, we're going to take you through a presentation. And after that, there will be a little time for questions. But if you have a question during the presentation, you're very welcome to interrupt. We have predicted the webinar to take a little over 30 minutes, but we really have no idea because we haven't done this before. I will just leave the floor to Gabby now to get us started.
Okay, thank you. We're starting with a really basic question. Who are we? You can say that the CCNSO is made up by four components. First of all, our members, of course. We have 136 right now. And then our council, our chair, and we have two vice chairs leading the council. And then, of course, us and the CCNSO secretariat. And we're going to talk to each of these points a little bit later. I'm going to start with talking about the CCNSO membership. As I said, right now we have 136 members, and this is an overview on how it's spread, the members are spread around the world. This is according to ICANN regions. The ICANN regions do not always follow the UN regions, so just aware of this. But this is what it looks like right now, and we also have observers from all regional organizations, or four regional organizations that there are. This is just showing how our membership has grown ever since the start 10 years ago. As you can see, in 2003, start with, we had less than 40 members, and now we're almost 140 members, so we've grown a lot during the last 10 years.
We have the CCNSO Council, consists of 18 councillors. That is three from the five different ICANN regions, plus three NOMCOM appointees. And we have four observers from the regional CCTLD organizations. And we have two liaisons from ALAC and from the GNSO. And the secretariat consists of myself, Christina Nordström. I am responsible for the operational tasks of the secretariat, and I'm based in Sweden. Am I the only one who lost connection right now in Adobe?
No.
Are you still connected?
Yeah, I'm still connected to Adobe.
Okay. So Bart, maybe you want to say something about yourself?
Yes, I'm Bart Boswinkel. I'm the Senior Policy Advisor and heading the Secretariat. And I'm working from home, say, and that's in the Netherlands. And not in Amsterdam, but on the other side, very close to the German border. Gabby?
Yeah, so I'm Gabby, and I'm responsible for, I'm the main contact for members for questions. If there are any questions, I'm the one you should turn to. I'm dealing with membership applications, and I'm the one who, I'm trying to distribute information to all members, and I'm also leading some of the working groups. And I'm based in Poland.
Yeah. Okay, I'll tell you a little bit, say, on how the CCNSO fits in into the larger structure and what the core activities at a high level are. So first of all, it's for most CCTLDs, it is an exchange, a platform for exchange of information and for networking. The CCTLD community also has, say, the regional organizations also provide these opportunities for CCTLDs. However, they do it, as already clear from the name, at the regional level. So in the APTLD region, you've got APTLD. In the African region, you've AFTLD. The LAC region, the Latin American and Caribbean region, it is LACTLD. And in Europe, it's CENTER. But that's very regionally focused in principle. And the CCNSO does it at a global level. So it's more the exchange between between all CCTLDs. That's one of the reasons why we have so many members, probably. As I said, it's a platform for exchange of information, so that's more the technical operational information exchange, how they deal with policies, etc. It's an opportunity for networking, so to meet other CCTLDs from other regions. So that's, in a nutshell, one of the major functions of the CCNSO. From another point of view, the CCNSO represents the CCTLD community interest within the larger ICANN environment. So that is, it provides, again, a platform to exchange information and learn from GTLDs and what is happening in the GTLD area and with at large and especially with the Security and Stability Advisory Committee and the Governmental Advisory Committee. In that sense, ICANN is unique that it provides also a platform for exchange with the government, with governments at a global level. And finally, and this is more one of the reasons why the CCNSO was created at first, it does some policy work, but as you will, as I will allude to later on in the presentation, the policy work itself is very limited for different reasons, and it does policy-related work that is not policy in the strict sense of ICANN policies, but it is more on, say, recommendations to the ICANN board, for instance, on the interpretation of current policies and to create new avenues. For instance, policy-related work, I would call the introduction of IDN CCTLDs through the fast-track process policy-related work. So that's in a nutshell what the CCNSO is doing for the CCTLD community and for the broader community as well. Gabby?
Oops. Yeah. I'm going to talk about what the CCNSO Council is doing, and you will see it actually has a quite different role from, for instance, the CNSO Council. It's much less powerful. It really just has two roles, and that's the administrative role and the representative role. Administratively, it means that they are kind of keeping track of our work plan and the distribution of work, etc. And then they also have a representative role in that they represent the CCNSO within ICANN, sometimes outside ICANN. But that's really what they're doing. They don't have the power to take own decisions or sign off a PDP on their own, whatever. It's they're actually, in that sense, very weak. There's much more powers to the members. They have a direct capability to, for instance, elect CCNSO councillors, which they do. Every year we have elections in every region where the members directly elect one of the councillors. They also select two of the ICANN board members. This is then confirmed by the CCNSO Council, but the CCNSO Council would not select two ICANN members on their own. This comes from the members. If we have a PDP, policy development process, it's the membership that actually votes on it. This would not be done only by the council. And we very, very rarely have PDPs. I've been with ICANN for over 6 years, and we haven't had a PDP since I've started. So I'm not sure when the last one was. We're going to have one now in May. But as I say, it's very, very rare. I think we might have had one maybe 8 or 9 years ago, very, very long ago. We're trying to avoid policy development processes as much as possible. But if there is one, the final vote comes from the membership. Also, if needed, our council, of course, takes resolutions, but if needed, the CCNSO members actually have the right to overturn it or question it in a way that they actually do have a final vote on the council resolution. If there is they don't like it, the members can actually vote on that as well. And I think Christina?
Yeah. One way for the members to contribute to the work in the CCNSO is to join a working group. And we currently have 12 more or less active groups. There's, for example, the FOI group that works on a framework of interpretation for delegation and redelegation of CCTLD. There's also the SOP working group that provides input to ICANN's strategic and operational plan. And we have the two IDN working groups that have gone through a policy development process. As Gabby mentioned, this is very rare. And the members will shortly vote on their recommendations. For the face-to-face meetings, the members can suggest the topics for discussion and help to set the agenda for the CCNSO members' meeting days. And, I think that's it for this slide. So how does the CCNSO organize its work? The council has a face-to-face meeting at all the ICANN events when it's open to anyone. Besides from that, they have monthly telephone conferences. And at the CCNSO meetings, the community gets together for a two-day event and discuss a diversity of topics and have different presenters and different formats. And we also have a tech day that started out as a CCNSO project, but is now aiming to be broader to include other communities as well. And this is usually on a Monday. And some of the topics are similar to the CCNSO meeting days, but they're discussed from a more technical point of view. And of course, the working groups meet face-to-face as well. Most of the working groups meet at every ICANN meeting. And in between, they have conference calls.
Okay, I'll take you through a bit more in depth into the real activities and operations of the CCNSO itself. As Gabby already mentioned and I mentioned before, difficult process is, in fact, the policy development process. As we said, it's very limited in use. We had one in 2005, so that's 8 years ago. That was the first PDP, and that was on changing the bylaws of ICANN to enable some CCTLD members to join the CCNSO, and currently we're running at the latest stages of the second PDP policy development process, which is on IDN CCTLDs. one of the reasons, or there are in fact two reasons why it's used very limited, its use is very limited. First of all, the process itself, as defined in Annex B of the ICANN bylaws, is very, very heavy-handed. Say, at a minimum, it will take 9 months. If we would stick to the limited time frame as defined in the PDP, but if you take, for example, the IDM PDP, it has now run for 5 years. One of the reasons why it took so long is knowing that it will take some time. In the meantime, the IDM Fast Track was developed by the CCMSO in close cooperation with the GAC. And we wanted to use the experience from the Fast Track to feed into the final policy for the selection of IDM CCTLD strings. So that's a bit about the process itself. The second reason why its use is very limited is because the policy remit of the CCNSO itself is very limited and very strictly defined in Annex C of the bylaws. Effectively, all policies relating to, say, registration under the CCTLD, so directly affecting CCTLDs, are excluded from the scope of the CCNSO. So the remit of global policy is very limited. Effectively, one could say it has to do with IANA and how delegations and around delegations, redelegations, and retirement of CCTLDs. So if you want to have a look at how the policy development looks like, the slides include a reference to a graphical representation of the policy development process, and from based on that one you will clearly see it is a rather complex process. As a result, the CCNSO has over time developed the mechanism of working groups. This is in a way informal, but the CCNSO has developed some guidelines to that effect, and this is now the most frequently used method of organizing its activity. Some of them do have a permanent character, like the Strategic and Operational Planning Working Group. So that's the one that's looking into the ICANN and ICANN strategic and operational planning processes. As they are recurring, this working group is coordinating the input from the CCNSO, and they are temporary. And temporary can mean a very long time as well. A good example, again, is the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, which has been ongoing now for over 2 years, and it succeeded the Redelegation Working Group, which looked into the issues. Hopefully, the FOI will conclude its work, say, within half a year, three quarters of a year. But so there is clearly an end goal there. Now, going back to the guidelines that the CCNSO has developed for working groups, each working group is, the scope is defined by a charter. The people who are doing the work are the volunteers, so the secretariat, so that's Gabi, Christina, and myself. We just support the volunteers in their activities, and the working groups report to the CCNSO Council, which has a more administrative role as to conclude and accept the recommendations, and if need be, pass them on to either the ICANN board or to other SOs, AACs, or mark the end point of a working group. And finally, some of the working groups are, reaching across community. I think a very good example is the close cooperation between the CCNSO and the GAC at the time regarding the IDN CCTLD fast track. And why I've mentioned, we do have another one, it's with the GNSO. What makes them different is in case of a cross-community as defined from a CCNSO perspective, it is that for example, the FOY, which is a cross-community working group, both the CCNSO, that means the membership and the council, and the Government Advisory Committee, so the GAC, need to support the final recommendations of such a working group before they can be sent, or in this case, to the ICANN board. So again, the fast track was a very good example of this. It's only after the CCNSO as a whole and the GAC adopted and supported the recommendations of that cross-community working group, the board was requested to initiate IDN fast-track process. So in that sense, that's what the CCNSO is considering a cross-community working group. A third taste in the way we organize our work is the study groups. These are very lightweight. They have a very lightweight charter, and they do advise the council. And what they do not do is make recommendations beyond, say, for example, to the ICANN board or to other SOs and AC. And they are more research focused. A very successful one was the wildcarding study group, which was more created at an ad hoc basis, had a very lightweight charger, and looked into the use of wildcarding and was more a fact-finding mission than anything else, but came up with some recommendations. And a current example is the study group on the use of country and territory names as a TLD. Again, this study group is more on a fact-finding mission and may come up with some recommendations, but they're more focused. These recommendations are focused at the CCNSO Council. And finally, we do have some CCNSO Council committees. These committees are made up of councillors. They do have more an administrative focus. For instance, currently we have the Election Guidelines Committee looking into the election guidelines, and they report directly to the council itself. Finally, and this is broader, and this is again a result from the CCNSO review from 2009, the CCNSO has documented a process for CCNSO statements and position papers, and this is more outreaching. We have different tastes here. One is a CCNSO Council statement, so that's only supported or is coming directly from the Council, and does not include the CCNSO membership, and this is more a time constraint than anything else. And then we have CCNSO statements, which are supported by both the membership and the council. Sometimes it is the limitation in time that we have to refer to a CCNSO council statement itself. The way it's made up, again, is first a drafting team. Again, most of the time, this is members from the community, and we're looking for a mix of subject expertise and drafting expertise to do the initial drafting. These drafts will be sent to the council first for a first review, and then, if time allows, to the membership for a second review and for adoption of the draft. The CCNSO statement and position papers are mostly a response on or input into public consultations by ICANN departments or other SOs, and ACs. Now, one of the things, and I think Gabby already mentioned it, one of the roles of the council in its administrative capacity is to overlook the activities and the work plan of the CCNSO. So again, as a result of the CCNSO review, the CCNSO has created a work plan, and they come in three different formats. Say there is the monthly update, which is say again for the council, which is just recording what has happened over the last month. So it's a very iterative process. Then there is a yearly, and so we've done it once at the Costa Rica meeting, at the Beijing meeting. The council will look into it again. There is a mind mapping of the different activities as well. So looking more into the future, 1 or 2 years, and what we can think of. So that's more a process to overlook and say what activities are envisioned for the CCNSO. And finally, this mind map is then put into a project management tool, which produces a Gantt view of the activities. So it's very it makes clear where we are in the process. And this is only done once a year because maintenance is taking up very much time. Now, one of the results of say doing the mind map and the Gantt view of the activities of the CCNSO was that it became very clear there is a disbalance currently between the envisioned or potential workload of the CCNSO and the volunteer capacity. As a result, the council appointed one of its a council committee to look into methods to balance the workload and the capacity of the volunteers. And as a result, the council will discuss at the workshop in Beijing a prioritization model, so therefore anticipated, in order to balance the workload and availability of volunteers. So when we did the Gantt view and developed the Gantt chart of the activities, we assumed that the volunteers would be available 2-3 hours a week to participate in CCNSO and CCNSO-related activities. As soon as you start using this as a baseline, it becomes very obvious that, say, the volunteer capacity the volunteers are at full capacity if you look at all the activities that are currently undertaken, and especially if you look at all the requests coming in from, say, other SOs, SCs, ACs, and from ICANN, from the ICANN board and staff to respond and participate in working groups. So the only way to deal with it was to develop a kind of prioritization model and at least to have a discussion what the CCNSO council and community consider important and urgent. So the model itself is very simple, or will be very simple. It is based on, say, an importance urgency matrix and is mitigated for the capacity needed and available. And the CCNSO Council has to, based on this these factors, decide whether they consider a request important enough with a high priority, high enough priority to undertake the activity, and if needed, to postpone and defer other activities. So probably in a year's time we can tell you whether it has worked or it hasn't, but at least it makes visible the availability of volunteers' capacity and the need to manage it properly. Gabby, Christina, over to you.
Yeah, that's me, Christina. Okay, so in Beijing, we have mentioned already that we have the Tech Day. It's on Monday. And this is all listed on the full icon schedule, so you'll be able to find it there. On Tuesday and Wednesday, we have two full CCNSO members meeting days. And these are all open for anyone to join. And they're almost always in the same room these 3 days. So if you find us, you find us. The various working groups will meet during the week, but these meetings are usually closed, with some exceptions. I thought I should take you through the website very quickly to show you where to go on the website if you want to know more about the Beijing meeting. So I will share my screen in a minute. Can you all see my screen?
Yeah.
Okay. So there we have this tab, the CCNSO members meeting tab. So you click on that, you'll come to this page where we have all the meetings listed. And you click on the Beijing meeting. And if you go to agenda, you can see the CCNSO members meeting agenda, and this is for Tuesday and Wednesday. You can also click on room and time information, so you can see when all the CCNSO related meetings in Beijing will take place. This will take you to our master calendar. And on the calendar, we also post agendas, notes, recordings, and transcripts. So if you want to see what's happened at a conference call at any time, you can go to the CCNSO the calendar to find that out. And what else? We have a presentations page where you will be able to find all presentations held during the members' meeting days. And this page is not active yet, but we have a similar page for the Tech Day. So you will be able to find the Tech Day presentations as well.
Christina, can I just add here, if you can, as you see on this page, we have something called summary. We ask all presenters to send us a short summary of their presentation prior to the meeting so that you can read and prepare to what's upcoming. So if you would click on one of these summary links, then you will see this is just a short extract on what the presentation will be about.
Thank you, Gabby. And we also have a transcript page. This is not yet active either, but we will post all the audio and transcripts from the Beijing meeting here. And there will be a meeting report, and the council minutes will be posted as well. Okay, I'm going to try to find my way back to the Adobe room now.
While Christina's doing that, can I also just say that the agenda is actually also posted on our front page, the CCNSO homepage. If you go to ccnso.icon.org, you will see there's a box called Highlights, and it's always posted there just around the meeting, so it's easy to find.
This is an interesting way of doing it.
looks very
nice. Oh, wow.
Nice.
I don't know what's happening. Okay. All right. Gotta get the presentation back up.
Yeah.
Okay. And for the first time in Beijing, we will arrange a CCTLD community cocktail, and that will be held on Tuesday evening at 6:30 to 8:30 in the Howard Johnson Paragon Hotel. And more information will go out to the people present in Beijing about that. And I also wanted to highlight our social media channels. We have a YouTube channel where CCTLDs can post information about their registries or whatever they want to post. And we have a Flickr stream. We usually post pictures from meetings. We have a Facebook page. And we have a Twitter account, and you can find links to all of this at the CCNSO homepage. And that's it. If you want to contact us, here is the address, email address. And now, if you want to ask any questions, we are happy to answer them. You can also type them in the chat if you want to. We have a question in the chat. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you for listening. And at any time, if you have any questions, you can always turn to me or to Bart or Gabby.
We would also be interested in your feedback, of course, so you can always email us and tell us what we could improve, etc.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you all very much for attending, and bye-bye. Hope to see you in Beijing.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.